Okay, let's learn a little halacha. I want to discuss today the shiva we have starting this Shabbos, a special series of haftaros. The haftarah on Shabbos this week is unique. What do we learn on Shabbos? We learn on Shabbos from Yirmiyah. We learn the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyah. The next 3 weeks, it's what's called the Gimel de Paranusa, the three haftaros of punishment. And that is followed by seven haftaros of Nechama, Shiva de Nechemta, and then it's followed by two of Dittiyufta, which means Teshuva. So it's a grand total of 12 haftaros. For the next 12 weeks, Chazal have assigned a very specific haftarah to lain for each Shabbos. And Farshim say that these haftaros are the most chashuv from all of the haftaros for one very specific reason, because we don't have a choice what to lain. All of the other haftaros of the year, maybe except with the exception of the Dalid, Dalid Parshios, those may be different indeed, but these haftaros, we have to lain what Chazal told us to lain, whereas the other parshos of the year, Me'ikar Hadin, you can lain whatever you want. The rabbi can decide current events. This was taking place in the community, in the world, and this, they can decide from Tanakh to make a selection. The fact that you have to lain a very specific haftarah is an indication that it's chashuv. It's very, very special. At the Akaku, there's so much, there's a lot of discussion. What happens if you lain the wrong haftarah? What do you do? Do you make it up? Do you not make it up? How do you go about? So hopefully we're not making any mistakes. And this week begins what we call the Gimel, the three haftaros of the Paranus of punishment. Now what's so interesting is the first two haftaros we learned from Sefer Yirmiyah, and the last haftarah, Shabbos Chazoin, we learned from Yeshaya. So what's bizarre is it should be just the opposite. Because Chazal tell us everything in Sefer Yirmiyah is kula toichacha. The entire Sefer Yirmiyah is full of toichacha, whereas Sefer Yeshaya is kula nechemta, is all nechama. So we would think that as we come closer to Tisha B'Av, we should get stronger, we should lay in the Haftarah from Sefer Yirmiyah, which is toichacha, and not chumash. Okay, the order is reversed. The famous Zvart, everyone knows that the Avelus of Tisha B'Av is just the opposite of the Avelus of a private person. With regard to a private person, what happens? You don't prepare in advance. When a doctor says to a person, you know, this person, your relative, you know, he's on a machine, he hooked up to all of these things, chas v'shalom lo yaleinu, you don't start to mourn. Doctor says he has a week to live. He has 3 weeks left to go. Oh, 3 weeks. Doctor says there are 3 weeks left to go. This person, so you know what? So now we're not going to take haircuts. And we get to Rosh Chodesh, then we're not going to eat meat. And then when we get to Shavuot Shechalvoy, the doctor's telling us. The doctor's counting down. When we get, the doctor is predicting that this fellow is going to die on the 9th day of Av. So right now, we have 3 weeks to go. So you know what? 3 weeks, I'm not going to take haircuts. I'm going to follow the laws of Yud Beis Chodesh. And then when we get to the Chodesh, where he's going to die, the doctor predicts he's going to die on the 9th day of Av, so I'm not going to eat meat. I'm not going to drink wine. And when we get to Shavuot Shechalvoy, oh, then I'm going to be even more machmer. And when we get to Erev, the day before he's about to die, then I'm going to be more machmer. And then when it's over, after he dies, a funeral, and then there's no avelus whatsoever. It's nonsense, right? Nonsense. You don't plan death. Rachmana l'son, a person, until the person is alive, there is no avelus, zero. No such thing. No matter what situation, no matter what matzav the person is in. Rachmana l'son, when he dies, then avelus begins. What kind of avelus? The most intense. Aninus. Person's parted from all the mitzvahs. Then we lighten up. Then there's shiva. Then it gets a little bit lighter. Then there's shloshim. And then there is Yud Beis Chodesh. So the Avelus starts with an intensity, an incredible intensity of Aninus. It then goes into the 7 days of Avelus, to Shloishim, and into Yud Beis Chodesh. When it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. The moment the Churban is over, after Tisha B'Av is over, in a puff of smoke, all of the laws of Avelus disappear. You wait until the 10th day in the afternoon, 10th day in the afternoon, because the Beis HaMikdash was burning until the 10th day in the afternoon. So once we reach that moment, and this year it's a Nidche, so this year all of the laws of Avelus end immediately. The moment Tisha B'Av is over, all of the laws of Avelus come to an end with the exception of eating meat. You're not allowed to eat meat the moment when Tisha B'Av is over, because eating meat on the night of the fast day is a part of the Tainus. That's part of the laws of the Tainus, that if you're fasting during the day, you're not allowed to eat meat when the fast is over. So that's a special halacha that's because of the Tainus, not because of the 9 days.
Does it apply this year?
Yes, it applies this year. This year it applies the din of a Tainus. If you're fasting an entire day, real Tainus, the laws of a Tainus demand that Mitzoy, when the tightness is over, until the next morning, you're not allowed to eat meat. But in the morning, for breakfast this year, Monday morning, you are allowed to eat meat for breakfast, if you so wish, because it's no longer the 9 days. The 9 days end on the 10th day, Chatzos. This year, the 10th day is when we fast. Shabbos is the 9th day, and we are fasting as a nitcha on the 10th day. So the days of Tisha, the 9 days come to an end on Tisha B'Av at Chatzos, but we're still fasting. Tisha B'Av. So we have to wait until the fast is over, and then once we fasted the entire day, the halacha states that you're not allowed to eat meat the following night, but after the morning, immediately you can do whatever you want. So why is that so? What? A bris? Yeah, of course, right. There will be a bris the day after Tisha B'Av, you'll be allowed to eat meat. But the truth is, even during the 9 days itself, there are opinions that do allow you to eat meat during the 9 days at a bris milah, if you want to eat. So therefore, everyone who participates can eat meat by a bris milah if you want to serve meat and for breakfast.
No, but on the night of Tisha.
No, the night of Tisha B'Av, I don't think so.
The daytime was a bris.
I don't think so. I do not believe you're allowed to eat meat at a bris milah, a sudas bris milah, motzoi tish. I don't know for sure, but I'm not mistaken, it's osir. Because just like you do not eat of a suuda on Tisha B'Av itself, so motzoi Tisha B'Av, the night after Tisha B'Av, you are bound by the laws of the Tainus. No matter what. So if there's a bris milah that occurs on Tisha B'Av itself, and we postpone the su'uda until after Tisha B'Av, if I'm not mistaken, that su'uda still can only be dairy. It may not include meat, because it's an extension of the tainus. Now this rule only applies when we observe a real tainus tzibur. It does not apply to Yom Kippur, because the reason why we fast in Yom Kippur is not midin tainus tzibur, it is midin v'inis semes nafshei seichem. It's a different nature, a different type of fast day. And the other fast days that we observe are only observed as a minhag. The proof is we don't observe the night before. So when you have the other fast days, Tzom Gedal, Tzom Beteves, and Shavuos Matamus, you are allowed to eat meat when the fast is over, because that's not in halacha considered to be a full-fledged fast. That's just a minog to observe it zecher for the takana of the Nevi'im. So the rules are relaxed. You don't have to, you're permitted to meet at night. Again, Yom Kippur, it's a different type of fast. That's a fast that is because of the mitzvah of the inis semes nafshei seichem. Tisha B'Av is the last mohigan. It's the last real fast day that we have that we observe midin a tainus tzibur, a real tainus tzibur, and that's why we begin the fast the night before, and that's why in addition to eating there are other things we may not do on Tisha B'Av. Being that it's a real fast day, it demands, the rules of Atainus demand that you just do not go from fasting to celebration and you're allowed to eat meat. There has to be a gradual step down. And that requires us not to eat meat the night after the fast day, even though it's no longer called the 9 days. Because the 9 days this year has ended, will end during the afternoon of the 10th day. Okay, so this is what with regard to that's this year again. The point we're discussing over here with the avelos, we're discussing the avelos, and that is with regard to the churban beis hamikdash. The method of mourning is the opposite of the method of mourning for private mourning. A private mourning, it suddenly comes upon a person and he gradually decreases. He starts off with an intensity and slowly decreases. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, since we know in advance when the date is, it's something which is upon our minds. We are responsible for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. As we approach it, we intensify our mourning. We build up, we go in the opposite direction towards Tisha B'Av, rather than go away. Now, if you take this idea by extension, what comes out is something very bizarre. Because when it comes to the Haftarahs, if you pay attention, we're going down. The last Haftarah that we learn before Tisha B'Av is Shabbos Chazon. And what do we learn Shabbos Chazon? We learn it from Yeshayah. Yeshayah, okay, the words are very harsh. The truth is, the words of Yeshayah indeed are very, very harsh. But yet Chazal tell us that Kula Sefer Yeshayah are words of Nechama. Yirmiyah, even though in Sefer Yirmiyah there are many words of Nechama, everything about Sefer Yirmiyah is Toichacha. What does that mean? There are many interpreters. So if you want to learn on a very simple level, it means Chazal, we're referring to the majority. The majority of, if you'll make a calculation and count the number of words in Sefer Yirmiyah, you'll discover most of those words are Toichacha, and the minority are Bracha and Nechama. If you'll count the number of words in Sefer Yeshayah, you'll discover that most of his words are Nechama, and a minority are Toichacha. That's a very simple approach. Problem with that approach is it doesn't work out. It's not true. If you count all the words in Sefer Yeshayah, you'll discover there are more words in Sefer Yeshayah of Toichacha than there are of Nechama. So how could Chazal say that Kulay Sefer Yeshayah are words of Nechama? You want to say we're going Basaroiv? Sorry, do a scientific analysis. You will see there are more words in Sefer Yeshayah of Toichacha than Nechama. So what's the answer? The answer, the better answer is, even in the words of Yeshayah, the words of Toichacha, there is a tinge of Nechama. There are different ways to give Musa. You can give Musa with fire and brimstone. You can come down hard and bang on the table and scream and yell and beat up a person, or you can give Musar with softness, tough love, right? You can give Musar in a way which it's not really Musar. You wouldn't even realize the person speaking was giving you Musar. You walk away feeling that it was a love poem. So when Chazal read the harsh words of Sefer Yeshayah, even like what we later Shabbos Chazoin Yeshe ben Amoitz Asher Chazal Yehuda v'Yushalayim. And when he goes on to say these incredible things, Hoy Goy Choyte, a nation who sins, Am Keved Avoin, they're heavy with sin, Zera Mirayim, seed of evildoers, Bonim Mashchisim, Ozwes Hashem, Niatsu. Wow, that's a pretty powerful word. Niatsu means they detest. Es Kedosh Yisrael, they detest Hashem. Nozoiru Ochor, they have moved backwards from Hashem. And it goes on and on. I mean, these words are really, really pretty serious words. Yet, in the eyes of Chazal, okay, it just goes to show that Das Torah Hepuch Midas Bal Habayis. In the eyes of Chazal, relatively speaking, when you want to compare these words to the words of Yirmiyah, even the words of comfort of Yirmiyah, these words are words of Nechama. The average person, even the Talmud Chacham, I think has a hard time really understanding that. But if you're very sensitive to these matters, we trust in Chazal's analysis. The words of Yeshayah are Kula Nechemta.
Well, that's why the next pasuk gives me not regularly under Oshem of the soul. can't figure it out. Don't look for reasons.
It's very difficult, but if we really understood the nature of language and how he spoke, you would not feel he's giving you mussar. You would feel he's giving you words of nechama when you read these harsh words. On the other hand, in Sefer Yirmiyah, we read essentially this week's parasha. It's beautiful. I mean, it's really, really, you know, there's no real harshness. I mean, there are some. Most of this is about Hashem recruits Yirmiyah. We learn Sefer Yirmiyah, and then Hashem goes on to say, "What do you see? I see the Sir Nafuach, the Machal Shoiked. Okay, that evil is in the compound Klal Yisrael. It's light. It's not yet happened. Almost seems like we can reverse. It can be reversed. It's not head on." Chazal say, don't be misled. When Yirmiyah speaks, it's harshness. Yirmiyah speaks with words of harshness, whether you understand it or not. Next week, Matas Masei. Again, we go into Sefer Yirmiyah. So here, it's a little bit harsher. Okay, it is indeed a little bit harsher than this week. But the problem is, if we follow the pattern of Avelos, we would expect that we should lay a selection from Yeshaya this week and next week, and lay a selection from Yirmiyah Erev Shabbos Tisha B'Av. So why don't we do that? If we are progressing forward in intensity in Avelos, just like the way we observe the morning is as the closer we get, we intensify the degree of Avelos, we would expect that when we learn from the Haftarah, we should intensify the Musar as we get closer towards Tisha B'Av. And that would require of us to select something from Sefer Yirmiyah, the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, because Yirmiyah is Kula Toichacha, whereas Yeshaya is Kula Nechama. We would select something from Sefer Yeshaya this week and next week. If we want to break it up between the two, well, the contrast is too stark. To go from Yeshaya to Yirmiyah, from Yirmiyah to Yeshaya, especially when Chazal told us about these two very specific Nevi'im, that everything that they say is either Nechama or Musa. So obviously, something very, very deep is taking place here in these Haftarahs, and that is, there are two dimensions in how we come to approach Tisha B'Av. Mitzad Echad, it's a very complicated day, Tisha B'Av. Mitzad Echad, Tisha B'Av, as we get closer, we're getting closer towards the Churban. The intensity of the pain, the Avelos Tsar, is greater. But Mitzad Sheni, as we get closer to Tisha B'Av, the coming closer to Geula, to salvation, to Yeshua, is closer. And in the Haftorah, is where the Nevi'im, is where Chazal cleverly has brought out a new dimension in your appreciation as you come closer to Tisha B'Av, especially Shabbos. See, at Shabbos, anyway, there's no Avelos. Think about it like that. On Shabbos, there are no restrictions. On Shabbos, you can eat meat. On Shabbos, I mean, we don't shave in honor of Shabbos because it's still during the week. But think, if you were able to shave on Shabbos, then we would be permitted to shave on Shabbos. Problem is, we can't shave on Shabbos. We have to shave before Shabbos, so then our hands are tied. But Shabbos, there is no Avelos. And when there is no Avelos, Adarabba, look how clever Chazal were, and the closer we come towards Tisha B'Av, the more Chazal are trying to draw our attention to focus that Tisha B'Av is a time not of Churban, but a time of Geula. Chazal said that on Tisha B'Av, the Melech HaMashiach was born. The Melech HaMashiach is born. Tisha B'Av is when we know, as far as I read, people who are addicted to all different types of things, whether it's the internet, substance abuse, or who knows what, alcohol, whatever it is, it's very hard to repent or to repair the damage until you hit rock bottom. You have to hit rock bottom before you're able to recover from your situation. The emes is, if someone would ask you, when did the Churban Beis HaMikdash happen? I'll give you a choice. Okay, who wants to be a millionaire? I'll give you a choice. Is it A, Shivasa B'Tamuz, B, Tisha B'Av? That's it, two choices, easy question. When was the Churban Beis HaMikdash? No lifelines here, okay? You can't call anyone up, okay? No hints. I'm giving you two choices. When was the Churban Beis HaMikdash? Shivasa B'Tamuz or Tisha B'Av? The average person will answer you, of course, Tisha B'Av. This is such a simple question, right? That's not true. We learn from the Haftarah, the Churban took place on Shiva Asa B'Tamuz. Once the walls were breached, we did not stand a fighting chance. It was all downhill. It's over. The Churban, it's Kilo, what happened. Tisha B'Av is just a time when we hit rock bottom, which enables us, now we can recover. Now we're able to recover because we have the tools to recover now. We can't recover until we hit rock bottom. Once the walls were breached, that's it, it's over. What there's going to be, our tshuva is going to make a difference now when the walls are breached that there's not going to be a Churban? Let's be realistic. It's over. It's all over. The process just has to, you have to go through the steps. The Churban happened. Now this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And now finally when all the dust settles, that's Tisha B'Av, now we can recover. So the Churban really took place on Shavasa B'Tamos. That's what the Nevi'im are telling us. You come Shabbos, the Churban already happened. We need now to recover. You have to make a doctor's appointment. You have to let the stuff, all the substance go through your system and let it clean out until you can start fresh, until you can get into the rehab center. We're preparing for Tisha B'Av to recover. And that's why the Haftarahs go from harsh to soft. The first 2 weeks, it's harsh. Yirmiyah, don't be fooled by any words of comfort from Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah is tough as stone, it's Musar. As we get closer, Yeshaya, his words appear to be very harsh, but the truth is his words are words of comfort. Now is the time when we can begin the recovery process. Two very different dimensions in what how you look at the Churban. I was thinking the proof to this is, another idea to prove this idea is, when we spoke a few days ago in regard to the five things that happened on Shivasa B'Tamuz, one of those things was the burning of a Sefer Torah. Apotimos, he burnt a Sefer Torah. This is a Mishnah Masechta Tainis. All of the Mefarshim are disturbed was why the Mishnah says Soraf es HaTorah. Why does the Mishnah have to add the Hey HaYedia? The Hey HaYedia, HaTorah. So everyone has a different answer. Some want to suggest that he burned Apotimos, he burned the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a little far-fetched to say that a guy can have a shlita to burn the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a little bit of a stretch. Some want to say the Hey HaYedia alludes to the Sefer Torah of Ezra. And the many answers. And I saw in two Svarim, on each Sefer, one is the Reitezner, and one is the Avnei Shoyam. And they both say, and it seems they're both mechadish on their own, the same answer. And shocking how they both thought of the same idea. And they have no makar. It doesn't seem they have any source. They just, on Tisha B'Av, we read about the discovery of a Sefer Torah. Who discovered a Sefer Torah? Yoshiyahu. Vayikoinen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. And all the article, it says there in the notes that this kina is the most important kina. If you're only going to say one kina on Tisha B'Av, this should be the kina that you say. The kina, it's a kina that was composed by none other than Yirmiyah Hanavi, mourning, lamenting the death of Yoshiyahu. Yoshio was a tzaddik she'ein kamahu. He brought about the greatest Baal Teshuva movement in the history of Klal Yisrael. Chazal say he was roy to be Mashiach. If he only would have listened to Yirmiyah and allowed Paro Necho to march through the land to fight his enemy, the king of Ashur, in Karkamish, he would have been Mashiach and there would never have been a Churban. The problem was he refused to let Paro Necho pass through the land. He thought he was living in the times of Mashiach, where it says in Parash B'chukosai, V'cherev le'savar bi'artzechem, and he refused to listen to the Navi Yirmiyah, and he paid for his mistake with his life. Paro Necho did not take no for an answer. He came with his army. Yirmiyah went out to greet him, to prevent him from going to the land. And there was a war. And in this war, the people of Egypt, Paro Necho's army, they shot into the body of Yoshiyahu 300 arrows. They perforated his body like a sieve. And he died. And Yirmiyah came to listen to him as he died. And his last dying words were, Tzadik hu Hashem ki piu marisi. And Yirmiyah eulogizes him, and because Klal Yisrael eulogized him with the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, the Churban was delayed by 22 years. The Churban should have taken place at that moment with the death of Yoshiyahu. Because they properly eulogized him, the Churban was delayed for another 22 years. This is the Kina that is the most important Kina that we should recite on Tisha B'Av, because this was a Kina that was composed by a Navi. It's the only one composed by a Navi, Vayikoinen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. Question, how did all of this start? How did Yoshiyahu come to be such a great person? And the answer is, it says this in the Kina, the loose of this, is they were doing renovations in the Beis HaMikdash at the command of Yoshiyahu, and Chilkiyahu HaKoyin, the Kohen Gadol, in the process of doing renovations, discovered a Sefer Torah. And they never saw a Sefer Torah in their lives. Menashe and Amon did such damage to Klal Yisrael, they did not even know what a Sefer Torah looked like. And they found the Sefer Torah, and it was opened up to the Teuch and Parshas Kisavoy, where it says, Yoylech Hashem es Malkucha el Am Asher lo Yodata. Hashem will take your king to a nation that you do not know. This is where the Sefer Torah was opened to. They showed this to Yoshiyahu. It shook him up. It shook him up to no end, which triggered a desire to do teshuva. And with him doing teshuva, he brought the whole Klal Yisrael to come close to Hashem through teshuva. In other words, what happened? They discovered a Sefer Torah. They discovered a Sefer Torah, and they paid attention, they took it to heart, and that changed the whole world. So the Mefarshim say, Rabbi Tezner, in his Sefer Shari Nechama, and in the Sefer called Avdei Hashem, it's a new Sefer, it's a Likut, he says, the Mechaber there says as well, if I'm not mistaken, these two Sfarim says there, when it says that Apotimos, he burnt HaTorah, and Mesech the Tainis. Do you know which Torah he burnt? He burnt the Torah that was found by Yoshiyahu. This Torah is a symbol of Teshuvah. Do Teshuvah. Chazorba, do Teshuvah. It was through this Sefer that Klal Yisrael did Teshuvah. And they held this Sefer Torah in great esteem. It was in the museum. Because this Torah represented the Baal Tshuva movement. This was where all Tshuva came from, the inspiration they all derived. Apotimos took this Sefer Torah and he burned it. As if to say, Klal Yisrael, Hashem doesn't need your Tshuva, he doesn't want you to do Tshuva. It was a very big blow to the esteem, to the Klal Yisrael, to burn this Sefer Torah. Now I know you'll ask, how could it be that Apotimos, when did Apotimos live? It's a very big mystery. It's not really clear. It was Apotimos, Tom, the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, the Bayis Sheni, when in the Bayis Sheni? How could the Sefer Torah be, if he was during Tom, the Bayis Sheni? So you're dealing here with a 400-year period of time, so maybe Nechanami. Maybe he was earlier, so it was 300 years, 200 years. It's not clear. It's not clear exactly how many years passed from the time that the Yoshio discovered Sefer Torah until Apotimos burned the Sefer Torah. But it's a very powerful idea, this machshava, to explain that is the significance of the Hayidia HaTorah. Apotimos Sarat es HaYidia, the same Torah that was burned, that was discovered by Yoshio. So here is my question to you. Question is, isn't it strange? on Tisha B'Av, we dwell upon the discovery of the Sefer Torah. That's what we do. It says in the art scroll, if you're only going to say one kina, this should be the one you say, because this is the most authentic, this is the one that was sanctioned by a Navi. And what is the theme of this kina? The discovery of the Sefer Torah. On Shivasa B'Tamos, go back in time, back 3 weeks, we focus on the destruction, the Serefa of this very Sefer Torah. Shouldn't it be the opposite? Isn't the contrast a bit strange? That we focus on the Churban of the Sefer Torah on Shivasa B'Tamos, and the discovery of the Sefer Torah on Tisha B'Av. It should be the other way around. First you discover it, and then you destroy it. It's the wrong say there. It's exactly the answer I'm trying to bring out, and you see this from the Haftarah. There are two dimensions to the Churban. There's the Churban going forward to the Churban, meaning that the Avelus intensifies, or the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. But there's another dimension where coming to Tisha B'Av is the moment when we hit rock bottom, so now finally we look forward to that moment when we can rebuild. The Churban really happened on Shivasa B'Tamos. On Shivasa B'Tamos is the anniversary of when the Sefer Torah was Nisraf. Because Shivasa B'Tamos is the real Churban. Once the walls are breached, the Sefer Torah was destroyed, they put a tzelem in the Heichal, the luchos were shattered, everything else is just dressing. This is the Churban. What, the building is still standing? We're still in Eretz Yisrael. It's inevitable. We don't understand the fighting chance. The guy have come into Yerushalayim, there's a Sefer Torah, that's this Sefer Torah of Teshuvah, which symbolic of Teshuvah is Nisraf. There's a Tzelem in the Heichal. And what else happened on Shabbat? The Luchos are shattered. It's over. Everything else is just make-believe. It's just inevitable. In fact, we can't wait until Tisha B'Av comes, until everything, all the dust settles. Because when all the dust settles, now finally we can rebuild. We can rediscover the Sefer Torah. So that's there. There's a lot of precision in order. Shivasa B'Tamos, the Sefer Torah was destroyed. Tisha B'Av, we're going to find it again. You could run, but you can't hide. Okay, he may have thought that he destroyed the Sefer Torah. We'll find it, don't worry. He thinks it was Nisraf, it will be reconstituted. Trias HaMesim. And you learn that whole Yesoid, I believe, from the cleverness of Chazal in arranging the Sifrei Nevi'im in these 3 weeks the way that they did. They first gave us 2 weeks of Yirmiyah and 1 week of Yeshaya. How could Chazal do this? Chazal's own words. Kula Sefer Yirmiyah Toichacha. Kula Sefer Yeshayah is Nechemta. How could they do this? If it's Nechama, and it means has to mean that even the Toichacha is soft. It's a soft Toichacha. It's a tough love. Teretz is, with the Han Shabbos, when we don't actually mourn, there's no Avelus on Shabbos. There's a different dimension to the focus of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Yemei HaMetzarim. The focus is, it's time to rebuild. And we actually look forward to rebuilding. We look forward until, okay, the Churban happened. It's like, you know, Rachman was a person that there's some type of a flood, or there's a whatever, and you have to wait for the insurance. Can't wait already. You get the insurance, and now we can bring in a demolition crew, can come in, can clean out the rubble. You can't wait for the demolition crew to come in and to get it over with. Because I can't rebuild until they clean up, they knock down the old building. You want to go build a new building, you got to get rid of the old building so you can rebuild the new building. The Churban happened already, Rabbi Yossi. There's nothing more to do, there's nothing more to discuss. It's a different dimension in what we look forward to in Tisha B'Av. Okay, we'll take a short break, and then we're going to talk about the Kosel Hamaravi. I have some new stuff on the Kosel Hamaravi.
New Kosel?
A Naya Kosel.